This is livemint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editor's Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So we start with the first story, which is about the RBI's monetary policy, and they've cut the repo rate by 25 basis points. So what did you think of this?
This is significant in several dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at all of them. This is the first rate action that has come after the creation of the Monetary Policy Committee, which has three people from the Reserve Bank, the Central Bank, and three independent experts appointed by the government.
Right.
But it was a unanimous decision. So all six of them decided to go ahead and recommend that the rate be cut. It's interesting because this decision seems contingent or seems to reflect the fact that this panel is now looking at inflation as not the core issue and growth as the core issue. That this panel is all right with an inflation band of 4 to 6%, because that was the agreement between the central bank and the government, that 4 plus or minus 2% would be the corridor within which they would operate. So I think this panel is looking at a 4 to 6% corridor, whereas the previous governor of the Reserve Bank was extremely focused on inflation and seemed to be very keen that it be brought down to 4% by next year. So we'll have to see how this plays out, because the fact remains that core inflation in India is extremely stubborn, right? If you remove all the layers and you just look at core inflation, it's hovered around 5% for a fairly long period of time.
Right.
It's not really gone down. Now, 5% is still less than 6%, right? So I don't think there's any cause for concern yet. But there could be a cause for concern if, let's say, with the bountiful monsoon, and the monsoons have been quite good,
right,
with the huge amount of money that government employees now have, thanks to a wage increase that's come into their hands, and all the arrears has come in, so that is going to result in an increase in demand. And the last time this happened, for 6 months, there was a spike in the sale of consumer products, including from cars to televisions, right? So you're going to see that. Now, it remains to be seen whether this is going to result in inflation or inflationary tendencies, and then see what happens. Because if inflation rises, then your currency also weakens,
right?
And then your exports become uncompetitive. But at the same time, if your interest rate comes down and they have brought it down and the banks transmit it effectively, and I still have a problem about what's being lost, right? I mean, the banks are not really transmitting all of it. If the banks transmit it effectively, it will help businesses invest more. It will increase productivity. So, you know, you'll have to balance out all these factor. So, but it is a brave decision. It is a very growth-oriented decision. And it is an extremely interesting decision. And I guess those are the kind of decisions that make headlines.
Right. Probably signaling the beginning of a new era also because of Urjit Patel.
Yeah. I think it just reflects the different thinking.
Right.
There have been some, what I would like to think as fairly unkind commentaries in several publications, including some respected international publications that seem to suggest that the new governor is the lapdog of the government and is doing exactly what the government wants to do. This is a committee decision. It is a decision based on their understanding of how they expect things to evolve. Ultimately, like we've often said in this newspaper, growth is the ultimate cure for everything, right? I mean, so if you can actually get that growth and still control inflation, which this committee seems to think can be done, I think it's the best solution.
Right. Moving on, we move to the e-commerce story, and with the festival season, it's but natural that all these companies are sort of competing with each other. So we have reports that Flipkart has been outselling Amazon during the festive sale. They have recorded some 15.5 million during their big billion days, while Amazon has sold 15 million units in the 5 days of its Great Indian Festival. So why pick this one?
I think e-commerce has replaced telecom, and before that colas, and before that detergents, as the new era where companies sort of fight with each other over the claims that they're making. We've been looking at the fact that Amazon has, on a standalone basis, because Flipkart also has two other entities, Myntra and Jabong. So we've been looking at the fact that Amazon, on a standalone basis, has caught up with Flipkart, largely on the strength of its excellent customer service and the huge seller choice. I mean, the number of products that it stocks. But it looks like that with the big billion day sale, Flipkart seems to have edged out Amazon. Could, too early to say, but could well be an indication that things are beginning to work in the turnaround plan that the new chief executive, Binny Bansal, has put in place. Could well mean that many of their troubles with delivery and other issues are behind them and they're really looking at growing rapidly. And also, I think it's good for the entire sector because the first half of this year was pretty much a write-off for the entire sector. We know for a fact that most e-commerce companies, number one, two, and three. One and two would be Flipkart, Amazon. Amazon, Flipkart, depends, right? It varies from month to month. Yes. And three is Snapdeal. But if you look at all three of them, and Snapdeal also did very well during this particular festive season. They had a sale of their own and they really did well. Mm. Exceeded their own expectations, which is huge. All of them were selling less in the middle of this year than they were doing at the end of last year. So what this sale has done is probably caused a spike. Could well mean an increase in momentum because this period, as you know, is the festive season. Usually these sales come just before Diwali.
Right.
This time they've come almost a month before Diwali because Diwali is at the end of the month. So I dare say that the companies haven't said anything yet, but I expect there to be a few more sales. And then December, again, you have Christmas. And then in January, you have the South Indian festival of Pongal. And this is an extended period called the festive season.
Right.
And it's usually good for most companies. So I would think that what the sales have done is to simply result in an increase in momentum that will probably go on for another 3-4 months. What does this mean? This means they're going to advertise heavily again. You expect to see new campaigns. This means there are going to be new offers. They're going to burn more money and try to gain market share, which is good for customers.
Mm-hmm.
This also probably means that the valuation of the unlisted ones like Flipkart and Snapdeal will probably go up again after sort of stagnating for some time and in some cases coming down. So it's a good start.
Right. So all in all, the festive season is pretty significant for them.
Someone has cause for celebration,
yes.
Right?
Definitely. The third story is about the spectrum auction, which just ended yesterday. And so apparently, during which just 41% of radio waves on offer were sold. It was pretty tepid auction.
I know 41% actually makes it look like a reasonable success because in most Indian examinations, 40% is passed, right? I mean, it was 40% when we were in college. Now it's 35. The standards keep going down. So let's look at it in terms of money. The government expected to raise around 560,000 crores, right? 560,000 crores was what they expected to raise from the sale of these radio waves. They have managed to raise around 65,000 crores, which is extremely insignificant, right? I mean, it's probably around
fraction of that.
12-13%. Of what they set out to raise. Now, only a fraction of this amount will again accrue to the government this year because that's the way these things work, right? I mean, some payment this year and then some next year and it goes on. So clearly, it is a disappointment for the government. It was expected to be a disappointment for the government for several reasons. One, it was a huge spectrum auction in terms of the amount of spectrum that was put up for sale. And it came in the wake of last year's huge spectrum auction, which was more significant simply because last year, several of the original mobile licenses were expiring. So some of the big companies like Airtel had to go out and renew that and buy the spectrum afresh.
Right.
So it was a question of survival then. Now it's just a question of filling in the blanks wherever they want to fill the blanks, which is what they've done. All of them, I think, not that I was going to say keeping their tinder dry, but I think that would be the wrong thing to say because I don't think any of them has got any tinder, right? I mean, they don't have money. But anyway, I think they're probably trying to build some kind of war chest for coping with Reliance Jio, which is this aggressive wireless broadband company which has entered. I think disappointment for the government. Will need to look for money from some other quarters to bridge its own deficit. Companies have played it smart. They've not done the foolish thing. But then no one expected them to do the foolish thing this time around because all of the incumbents are hurting financially and all of them are also trying to cope with this aggressive new entrant.
So the last story we discuss is technology story where Google has just come out with two Pixel phones and it wants to compete head-on with Apple and its premium iPhone by sort of getting into the hardware side of things. So what did you think of this?
It's interesting, right? I mean, here's a company which has not typically taken the hardware route and is doing it, presumably because it sees a gap in the market. Quite honestly, I don't see this gap. Because sure, Apple is big in the US and parts of Europe, but Samsung is big everywhere else.
Yes.
And then you have the other players who are there. In India, Lenovo is a significant player through its own brands as well as the Moto brand that it owns. And then you have a bunch of other Indian, not Indian, but Chinese players which are operating in India. You have Xiaomi, you have Leico and some of these. So I don't really see a... And then, of course, you have HTC. So I don't really see a gap in this space. But then Huawei has also gone out and launched its own smartphones around the same time that Google has done. So clearly, many of these people are seeing some amount of instability in the ratings in terms of who's number one, who's number two, who's number three. And they think that if they offer a really good premium smartphone, because let's not have any delusions, Google's smartphones are extremely expensive, right? I mean, in India, for instance, the difference between an iPhone 7 and a Google Pixel is going to be pretty insignificant. iPhone 7 is going to start retailing at 60,000 rupees, I would think.
Pixel is 57,000.
Yeah. So at that level, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, once you cross the 50,000 mark, I don't think it really makes a difference, at least to those consumers who are looking at that category of smartphones. So the price surprised me, as did the fact that they finally decided to get into hardware. But clearly, they are seeing a gap in the market. Now, let's please understand that this company actually has extremely good hardware cred in a very proxy sort of way. Because you remember the Nexus tablets and the Nexus phones, which were made by other companies. But all the specifications were given by Google.
Right.
And they were really sought after. And our own tests by our personal technology writers have shown that these were extremely good phones and tablets and everything else. They were best in class in some categories. But they were not premium. So this is a rethink in that strategy. The phone looks good. But then at that category, most of the phones look good, right? I mean, whether it's iPhone 7, I wouldn't say Samsung because they're having this trouble with the Note 7. But many of the high-end Samsungs are quite advanced, quite good phones, irrespective of the battery trouble that they may be having. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. They already have the ecosystem, right? I mean, Android.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of building a really good phone, creating demand for that. We'll have to see what happens. But some of these things happen in waves. It's interesting. But even if we look at the very microcosmic example of our own newsroom, and I look at the last 2 years, there was this OnePlus wave, right? When everyone said, we're going to get OnePluses and went. And then there was this Xiaomi wave. And then both those waves have receded now. They're no longer waves, right? And then I don't think Leico is really a wave yet, at least in our newsroom. In the market, it seems to be a wave looking at some of these sales figures that are being cited. But it's interesting. It's always interesting to have a new player enter a segment of the market where you thought, okay, you know, at that end, competition is pretty much defined.
Right. So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter or Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.